Atlanta, Georgia.
We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we are already into the month of October. And I don't know about you, but cool weather is just around the horizon, they tell us, and that makes me a happy, happy man. Makes my electric bill happy. And if my electric bill's happy, I'm happy. So thank you for tuning in today. We do want to invite you to come and be a part of our Sunday services this week. Sunday school's at 9:30. It'll be the last Sunday school class my daughter teaches. She's been the adult Sunday school teacher for a couple of years now. And when she first started doing that, her life goal is to be a high school biology teacher. And so she's skilled in teaching, but she wasn't wearing any hats of responsibility around the church, and that need arose, and she stepped in and filled it. But in the meantime, she's picked up a whole array of other responsibilities and has done a marvelous job there. And she's going to set this adult Sunday school class aside so that she can focus on another ministry that God has laid upon her heart. And so then I'll be stepping in and filling in for a short season until we can get someone else fulfill that ministry responsibility. Want to invite you. I was talking to someone here earlier in the week, and they were talking about that they were in need of air conditioning. I said, hey, if you need air conditioning help, let me know, because we have two companies represented. Today I want to tell you about Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, 632-9538. They go all throughout the county. If you want to make sure your heater is ready for that coming cooler weather that's on its way by faith, or if your AC has said, you know what, it's been a long summer and I'm tired and I need some help, they can help you out there. Also, if you just need some electrical work done, they can take care of that as well. So 632-9538. Come and be a part of that. We do have Sunday night service this Sunday, 6:30. We have a special guest that's going to be with us, and so we're looking forward to what God has in store for us. Today is the day that some may have doubted ever would have arrived, and that is we are going to conclude our study of Joseph this morning. And so I want to take you to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. And I'll just begin reading at verse number 19. And it says, Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, "I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So Joseph lived a good long life. Most of that life was lived in Egypt. He had fulfilled his mission, his purpose, and as his father had done, he had some closing remarks to say to his family, and one of those things is this, and he says it twice, God will surely visit you. He says, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you. And throughout life, there have been a number of famous people who have come to the world stage, and then they have left stage, and God still surely visits his people. The word that has really stoked my fire over the past couple of weeks is that the Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. Another translation says the Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard. It's a powerful voice. It's a voice of love. It is a voice of authority. It's a voice of power, a voice of forgiveness, a voice of healing. It's a voice of salvation. It's a glorious voice, and God will cause his glorious voice to be heard. But Joseph says, I want you to know he's not just going to call you on the phone. He is going to come and visit you. Now, when we talk about visits, and you know, I get to go visit my family periodically. And when I was younger, whenever I would visit, my mother would cry when I left because that was the new normal, and you knew that it wasn't going to be a while. And now, after several decades of that, now when I visit, the roles are reversed in that. You know, I've got a grandmother that is up in age significantly. She's over 100 years old. And, you know, I never know if when I'm driving away, if that's the last time that I'll get to see her. I know with phones, it's not the last time I get to talk to her. We also do some FaceTiming and things like that. But those visits are extra special. Jesus said that Jerusalem missed the day of their visitation. That when he had visited, they had missed their day of visitation. So I don't want to miss that. I don't want to be away from home when God is coming to visit. And so I want to make sure that I am positioned properly so that when God's presence does show up, that I'm right exactly where I am supposed to be. Too many people are in charge of their own position and placement. They make emotional decisions. They make logistic decisions. Now, you know, if you're working for the military, you know, you signed that contract. They tell you where you're going to go and how long you're going to stay there and whether your family gets to go. And you know what? Those are not your decisions to make. You already made that decision and you said, you know what? Wherever you send me, I will serve. Well, I want you to know that that's the same way that I approach my relationship with God. He's the commander in chief. And so when I was in Oklahoma, it never dawned on me that I would have a ministry in Florida. It never dawned on me I'd have a ministry in Illinois. It never dawned on me that I would have a ministry in Texas. But I said, God, wherever you want me to go, that's where I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. I want you to know today that we need to be at our post. Because God will surely visit you. You see, you don't have to have the greatest location. Ours is not going to be the largest church in the world, not the largest church in the country. You know, we're just trying to build the kingdom of God. But we know this, when we come together, we expect the presence of God. We expect the presence of God. Joseph said, God will surely visit you, and he's going to bring you out of this land. Where you are now is not where you are going to stay. He is going to come and he's going to bring you out of this land. And then in verse number 25, he says this, God will surely visit you and you shall carry up my bones from here. Joseph knew that he was not going to get the same sort of ceremonial procession that his father had had. There wasn't going to be the journey back to the promised land, but he began to speak prophetically. He began to speak about his destiny, and he said, don't forget me. Don't forget me. You know, this was a guy who had been sold by his family and then forgotten about. They just assumed he was dead. things had happened to him that were so horrible, they just assumed that they had killed him. But he was still alive, and he said, it might seem like a long time, but I'm here to tell you that God is going to visit you. He's visiting you with a purpose, and that is he's going to bring you out of this land. He's going to bring you back to the promised land, to the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to restore you there. And when you go, my body is dying here in Egypt, but don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. I have a debt. I want to be buried in the land of promise. Don't forget me. And so I want to ask you, have you given any thought to tomorrow? You know, I'm speaking to my kids now, and you know what? It's not too much of a stretch for me to remember when I was their age. It just seems like yesterday. It just seems like, you know, even though it's been, you know, a few decades, it just seems like yesterday was the first time that I saw my wife and her smiling face for the very first time. It just seems like yesterday when we got the call that it was time to go to the hospital and for our son to be born. It just seems like yesterday that I got the call that I was coming to pastor Merit Assembly of God, and it's been over 2 decades. And so I tell my kids, don't blink. Don't take it for granted. Seize the day. You know, be sensitive to God for what he wants for you. And then make sure that, you know, you don't get stuck. You don't get stuck. And Joseph said, don't leave me here. I may have spent most of my life here, but this is not my home. I don't care how long you live, how long you've been a Christian. If you aren't a Christian, you need to become one now, because you were never intended to live on this planet for eternity. You were meant to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. People doubt the reality of hell. Jesus confirms the reality of hell, so therefore I don't doubt it because I believe in Jesus. Have I ever been there? No. Have I seen its effects? Yes. But the reality was, hell was never prepared for man. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was a place that men choose to go to so that it's their last act of rebellion against God. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we might be also. And so for us, spending eternity in heaven, that's what our destiny is. And Joseph said, for most of my life I've lived in Egypt, but that's not where my home is. My home is back in the promised land. And when I die, when God visits you, when he brings you out of this place, don't forget me. Carry my bones up out of this place and let them rest in the land of rest. And so several hundred years goes by. And in Exodus chapter 2, which is just on the very next page for me, in verse number 6, it says, and Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Joseph died, and it said that the Pharaoh over Egypt, it refers to him here as the king. Later on, it refers to him as Pharaoh again. But there was a new king that arose, and he had forgotten how God had used Joseph to save Egypt and to save the world. It says, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And so it may be one thing if history forgets about you. It may be one thing if the government forgets about you. You know, there's a lot of people occupying a lot of graves and filling a lot of mausoleums and a lot of urns. And for the most part, a great number of people are forgotten. But I want to encourage you to do this. Even if others forget what we have done, let's make sure that we have done something that our family will remember us by, that our church will remember us by, that God will remember us by. He is a diligent, he rewards diligently those who seek him. So he rewards those who diligently seek him. So I encourage you today, don't be doing it for the notoriety of this world, but let's live our life in such a manner that God and the people that he's allowed us to influence. I look at back to Genesis chapter 50, and there's an interesting thought there in verse number 23. It says, he saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, but as far as Manasseh, his kids and his grandkids, it says, were brought up or also brought up on Joseph's knee. What do you think Joseph would have to say to his kids and to his grandkids? I believe that he would tell them, hey, God has a mission for you just the same as he had a mission for me. Let me tell you the stories about my dad, Jacob. Let me tell you the stories about his dad, Isaac, and his dad, Abraham. Let me tell you the stories about how God saw me through difficult times, because God's going to visit you. Don't forget, God didn't just visit me, but he's going to visit you. You've got blessings that your grandfather Jacob pronounced over your life, and those things are going to come to pass. So let me ask you today, if someone were to write your epitaph as to what your greatest achievement was, what would it be? I believe that the most important thing is that we know Jesus. We just don't know about him, but we know him. We become like him. We allow him to teach us instead of us lecture him. And so, you know, if we know him, it says that the people that know their God shall do great exploits. And so the secondary thing is, because we know him, because we walk in the Spirit, we are going to see supernatural things take place. And I'm just so thankful that there are things for all of us to do. In fact, the scripture says God has ordained those things to be done from before the foundation of the world. He had you on his mind before he formed the first clump of dirt. Before the breath of life was ever breathed into Adam, he knew what he wanted you to do. So you might think that in chapter 2, when Pharaoh forgets about Joseph, that is the end of the story. But I'll tell you that it wasn't. And in, you know, Exodus, they come out of Egypt. But in the book of Joshua, they go in to take possession of the promised land. And there's a great number of battles, and there's some highs, and there are some lows. There's rivers to cross at flood stage. There's a great deal. There's land to occupy. There's portions of land that have to be allocated to, you know, the whole congregation of Israel. There needs to be order that is set up. And towards the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24 is very famous for Joshua saying, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people responded, we will serve the Lord. And let me just share that with you. Verse number 16. So this is Joshua 24:16. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And so there's a real powerful lesson there that we need, on our own strength, we cannot serve the Lord in the way that he needs. We need God inside of us helping us to live in a manner that is fitting him, that is going to guide us and empower us to live a sinless life. But chapter 24 goes on, and Joshua renews the covenant with the people that day. And then later on, Joshua dies again at the age of 110 years old. And they buried him. That's verse number 29. And they buried Joshua. In verse number 31, it says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. You see, in spite of hundreds of years having gone by, in spite of all of the battles and changing of the guard and generations, Joshua had arisen and served after Moses had died. And then Joshua dies, and then it says all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, those people who had seen great things, they continued to tell of the mighty works of God. And there had been a command that had gone several hundred years, and it says, don't leave my bones here. Whatever you do, do not leave my bones here. Take them back. I have a resting place. This is where I'm going to end up, and I don't care how long it's going to take. You don't leave me here. I am going to arrive at that final resting spot. And it says here in chapter 24 that they buried the bones of Joseph exactly where he said that he wanted to be buried. You see, God is so good that I know the destiny that I have. I don't want to ever get complacent and say, God, I've reached a comfortable spot. I don't really care about journeying any further here. You know, this is a nice shady place. I'm still driven today to teach the word of God, to raise up disciples, to empower missionaries, to see lives restored spiritually and relationally. And so I've got some things that now should the Lord tarry, I've got some things. My funeral, if the Lord tarries, is not going to be a boring thing. If I have to plan the whole thing out myself, it is not going to be a boring time. I'm just here to tell you, we are going to celebrate the goodness of God. I'm finally going to be able to dance. If you're here on the radio, you got no idea how bad my rhythm is. It is just not a pretty picture. And I've said, when I get to heaven, man, I am going to be able to dance with around the throne of grace. I'm gonna finally have that rhythm that everybody else has made fun of me for not having all of these years. And I've said, you know what? As far as my bones go, I know this, that the Bible says that that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and that grave is not going to be able to contain me at the resurrection should the Lord tarry. Now, I want you to know my preference is that the trumpet sound, and I be a part of that, we which are alive and remain. That's my first choice. So that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about if my timetable isn't God's timetable, then I've got something. I want my bones to be a part of that resurrection that comes up. And every time people drive by that cemetery, they say, what happened to this grave? Oh, this was a man of God. And God said that he would sound a trumpet and that the dead in Christ would rise. And so his grave, the reason it looked so disturbed is because the trumpet sounded and the grave lost its grip. And that man came bursting forth. That's what I'm looking for. That's my resting place. I want those people who remain after the Lord comes, that there's still a testimony, that there's still a message coming across and say, these bones are meant to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. So when I came to Merit Assembly of God, not knowing exactly how long I would be there, I said, you know, God, I want to leave this place in better shape than it was when I got here. And I pray that I fulfill that. But I've got souls to see saved. I want to make an impact on generations so that they will know the workings of God. The thing about it was, up until the time of Moses, the Hebrew language was not a written language. It was communicated orally. It was passed down by mouth from one generation to another generation. They talked about it. They talked about it. I pray that you and I will do the same thing, and that our kids will not just hear about the things of God whenever they go to church, but when we're at home and we're communicating with them and with our grandkids. Right now, I've got a new ministry that I get to be a part of, and that is, I get to have some time discipling young men and teaching them to be men of God. Really looking forward to that. Pray for me that goes well, if you would. Let's close in prayer today, shall we? Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for this time that we've had to study the life of an incredible man, Joseph. God, you brought him through difficult times, and he impacted the world. I pray, God, that there would be some world changers that are listening to this that would not surrender, that would not give up, but Lord, they would continue to press on. God, I pray that we would not only command our time here, but Lord, we'd know that you are going to bring people out. Lord, I pray that even our bones would testify to the goodness and the greatness of God. I pray that our finances, our health, the soundness of our mind, that all would testify that Jesus Christ is good, and he is Lord. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. I what they really mean is I need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more.